Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Oh, thank you. That's a punchline. Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from, or that we heard from the book of Genesis. It's the end of close to the end of the story of Joseph. We've been hearing throughout Genesis of promise to Abraham that he would be blessed and be a blessing to all nations. And this is passed along, of course, to Isaac and his wife Rebecca, and then to Jacob, who becomes Israel, and Rachel and Leah. And finally to Joseph and the brothers. And I guess the lesson to be learned here is you think you got problems in your family? Look at these guys. I mean, you know, they should be on some reality TV show illustrating dysfunctional family patterns. Anyway, so I want to talk to you. It's kind of the close to ultimate scene here. And I want to talk to you about revenge and forgiveness. We talk about forgiveness a lot. I just want to preface this. We talk forgiveness a lot in the church as if it is something easy to do. And by that, I don't mean God's forgiveness of us, which he confronts us with. He confronts us with forgiveness. I mean, our difficulty in forgiving, and sometimes in even being forgiven, and what that even means. And we sometimes speak about it as if it's a switch we can turn on. You're going, oh, well, you should just forgive that person. You're going, oh, golly, I never thought of that. I'll just got this little internal switch, the forgiveness switch, and there we go. All is forgiven now. You know, not that easy. In fact, we may even confuse a number of concepts in that one word, forgiveness. And I feel sometimes we place a burden on people. It's not that we shouldn't challenge, but I think also sometimes we place a burden, an unrealistic burden on people in terms of what it means to forgive and what it means to be forgiven. And this is where the story of Joseph is so helpful, because it is so, as the rest of this part of the story is, it's so realistic about human nature. So if you've ever seen any of the Star Trek movies, I think it's maybe the last one with Captain Kirk in it, somebody says, I'd like to quote the old Klingon proverb, revenge is a dish best served cold. I remember that. And so if revenge is a dish best served cold, boy, has Joseph ever got the chance to serve a big dollop of that dish to his brothers right now. Just, you know the story, but I'll just repeat it briefly. Joseph is one of a large group of brothers of this dysfunctional family, the family of Jacob, who becomes Israel, and his two wives, which is never thought to be a particularly good idea in the Old Testament, Rachel and Leah, which inevitably creates conflict. And so there's conflict in the family. There has been all along conflict in the family. And one of the ways this conflict manifests itself is people often talk about the scapegoat thing. You know, if there's problems, we'll often find somebody to load the problems onto, right? If there's conflict, well, if only I got rid of so-and-so, you know, that would solve the problem. And so Joseph kind of becomes the scapegoat for all this conflict in the family. And specifically, he becomes the object of his brother's jealousy, if you remember the story. And so they do what all of us do in our families when we're having conflict with our siblings, and that is we throw them into a well and sell them into slavery in Egypt. You know? Today's lesson on how to behave. No, first they're going to kill them, right? They throw them into a pit. First they're going to kill them. And then Reuben goes, Reuben, Judah, go, maybe we shouldn't kill them. Maybe we should just sell them, and then thinking maybe you can come back later. And so they sell them into Egypt. And here they are today, many years later. They have told their father, Jacob/Israel, that he's been killed by wild beasts, his beautiful coat, they covered with blood, and they said, so sorry, your favorite son, you know, things happen, right? But here they are today, years later. They're standing, begging for food in Egypt, famine in Canaan, they're begging for food in Egypt in front of the prime minister of Egypt, right? One of the most powerful people in the world, maybe the most powerful person in that part of the world, prime minister of Egypt. And who does this happen to be? It's her brother Joseph, and they don't recognize him. So, because he's become an Egyptian. Why? When he's probably dead or enslaved or something. And so if you're Joseph, you'll go, come on, we all have these fantasies, don't we? You know, maybe I can mete out just a little bit of justice here. You know, maybe I've been thinking for years about, you know, you have these thoughts, right? Like somebody says something to you you don't like very much and you're a little slow-witted, and then later that night you think, oh, I should have said this to them, right? Except 100 times more so, Joseph has the opportunity. He goes, now he has the chance to, as it says, they're hungry, as it says in the book of Jeremiah. Joseph must be thinking to himself, and I will feed them with justice. But there is the mandate of the blessing which this family is obliged to pass along. I will make you a blessing, and you will be a blessing to all the nations. And this is where we come from. So we're at this, here we are at the very point, once again, will the blessing be passed along or will it not be passed along? Will God's project to save humanity, starting in Genesis, remember the fall and beginning of Genesis, starting Genesis 2, Genesis 3, will God's plan finally be defeated by this dysfunction of this family? Or will God's plan continue and it rests on one thing? Is Joseph going to meet a little bit of rough justice? Or is Joseph going to offer forgiveness? Well, maybe it's not that simple. We can see, just earlier, we can see what Joseph is doing. What Joseph does is, again, he doesn't turn on the forgiveness switch. What he does is he listens. So, they don't know who he is. They think he's the prime minister of Egypt. They think he doesn't speak Hebrew. He's fairly familiar. And he hears them talking amongst themselves. And he hears Reuben say to his brothers, I told you at the beginning that this was going to happen, and now the burden of guilt has fallen upon us. And we are experiencing the rightly deserved punishment that we should receive. Long story. But it's at that point, they're begging for forgiveness. He wants one of their brothers to be taken as a hostage. And they're going, this is exactly what we deserve. So Joseph overhears their conversation. He's listening. You can see throughout the story, he's listening. He's not saying anything. He's listening. He leaves the room once to weep. He comes back and he listens. And what's he listening for? Listening for this. He's listening for their sincerity. He's listening to see if they have a genuine sense of the harm that they have caused and a genuine sense of, well, repentance. That they actually regret what they've done and that they wish they hadn't done it, and they wish they could move on, and they wish that there could be healing to their family, and they wish their family had the capacity to pass on the blessing that God has given to them. Joseph listens and listens and listens. He goes out quietly and weeps, and eventually he comes back in, and he says, "I'm your brother Joseph," and offers them, what you heard today, I mean, embraces them and offers them forgiveness. Which in this case, and I think this is important in the Bible when we think about forgiveness, is reconciliation. And so can the story continue? It can continue. Has Joseph decided to bring revenge, which would make Joseph feel good but would end the story? No, he hasn't. He hasn't brought out his worst impulses and served the dish cold. Has everything depended on Joseph's desire to forgive? Well, maybe it's not just Joseph's desire to forgive. Or maybe we need to expand the meaning of the word, because it also seems to depend on the brother's desire to be reconciled. So I think sometimes we think of forgiveness as being an internal psychological process, right? Like I said, jokingly, like we have a switch inside of ourselves. And it's something we can do within ourselves. You know, I'm just going to go up to the bedroom, going to the study for a minute here, and I'm just going to, I'm just going to forgive everybody that's ever hurt me. It's going to take me about 5 minutes probably. And then I'll be back downstairs and we're going to watch a little, going to watch the baseball game or something. Short list. Okay. You know, but that's not what we see here. What we see here is a process. Forgiveness, in this case, we can't talk about the Bible in general in every case, but in this case, we see that forgiveness is a process. And the end desired of that process is reconciliation. Well, that's very nice, Father, but in the meantime, we're living in the real world, right? And the real world is, we may seek reconciliation, and we may, ensure that it is safe, if I can use that word, and appropriate to seek reconciliation. But what about in the cases where reconciliation is not possible? In the Gospels and in the epistles, especially in Romans that we heard today, we see this. Jesus confronts us with forgiveness. An important phrase. Jesus confronts us with forgiveness. And then we become aware of our sins when he's confronted us with forgiveness. Really important to keep that in our mind. At the same time, where we live, it's a complicated process. So what do we do when we want to be reconciled? We have the desire to be reconciled, and reconciliation seems to be something which is in the hands of God in the age to come, very far in the future. Well, what this story can tell us is one thing we can do is resist the dish being served cold. Whatever we can learn from this story is revenge is not the answer. Revenge is a poison. And Joseph rightly rejects the possibility of revenge. The other thing Joseph does is he remains open to the possibility. I once read a famous theologian who was commenting on the commandment to honor your father and mother. And he said, well, what do you do when that's, in whatever horrible circumstance, difficult circumstance, whatever it is, that's not possible? And he says, well, always leave it as a possibility. Even if it can't be done reasonably, always leave it as a possibility. So Joseph encourages us to wait and to listen, at least. Refrain from revenge, listen, see if there is a possibility of reconciliation, and then act accordingly. And another thing. It's a word that's not used here, but it's an important word. And this, there's so many words tied up in forgiveness. It's part of the problem. Clemency, right? Maybe it's not possible to receive full reconciliation in this life. It may, however, be possible to be clement. In the sense, I am not going to wish that you to experience the full extent of the law. To be merciful, even if it's not possible to have reconciliation. At least to be merciful as much as it is possible. To be merciful. So the story moves forward today. It moves forward because God is in charge of the process. Because, yes, it's a dysfunctional family, but we're the only people God has to work with, right? People like us, people like Joseph's family, not so perfect. We're all the material he's got to work with, but he keeps making it more and more possible. And we have at least this vision in front of us of his desire for us, which is reconciliation. And to put revenge aside, to pray for healing in our hearts. Not forgiveness in the full sense, but pray for healing, to pray for the gift of mercy, to pray for the gift of clemency. And to have on our mind, as we have on our hearts, the one who has found us when we were his enemies. And called us to himself. And in the meantime, what's the word I used with the kids today? Persistence. Persistence even in learning to forgive. Not expect miracles of ourselves, but some kind of grace-filled persistence. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word in which you show that you know us deeply. Give us the gift of your Holy Spirit so that we can see each of the events of our lives, which are beautiful and complicated, through the eyes of your Spirit, Lord. Teach us when to move forward in offering of forgiveness. Teach us when to wait and pray for the coming of your reconciliation, your mercy. And above all, keep us in the heart of your Son, who confronts us with his forgiveness and gives us life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.